He's due to go at 10 a.m. tomorrow. But at 8 a.m., the seven justices of the California Supreme Court will meet to rule on the validity of Chessman's new claim that he knows three men who can testify that he is innocent. The state's detectives will work throughout the night trying to find these men, and they will be aided by police across the nation. Chessman's case continues to rake more newspaper space abroad than at home. The Vatican's Osservatore Romano pleaded for him today. British front pages carried pictures of him in chains as he was led to his last press conference. Austria's most conservative paper denounced Governor Pat Brown and said, quote, the battle has become a ping-pong game with a human head. College students marched in San Francisco. As for Chessman, he said an hour or so ago that he was determined to remain calm. I don't start dying until 10 a.m. tomorrow, he said. I don't intend to slice myself up in little pieces in the meantime.
In prison, authorities continue preparations for tomorrow morning's execution. For a report, here is Robert Goggin at San Quentin.
Darryl Chessman has begun the ritual leading up to his execution. He left death row a short time ago and was taken on a special elevator down six floors to the death watch cell, just 13 steps from the gas chamber. There he exchanged his prison denim for a white shirt and blue jeans with no belt. Chessman will spend his last 17 hours in this bare cell containing only a mattress. Two guards will be with him constantly, serving coffee and conversation when he wants it. He told me yesterday he plans no elaborate last meal, just a Coke or a sandwich. During the night, the visitors include Warden Fred Dixon, his attorneys, and the chaplain. He'll also take a few minutes to write last letters, have a few memories, and make some final evaluations according to his pre-announced plan. Tomorrow morning at 9:30, the prison doctor will make a brief examination, and a half an hour later, he will take those final 13 steps into the green eight-sided gas chamber. This is Robert Goggin, NBC News at San Quentin Prison.
The usual crowd of students, a few movie stars, opponents of capital punishment, and morbidly curious sightseers is gathering outside the gate of San Quentin Prison. Bill Short is at the scene, and a car equipped with a mobile telephone has just called in this report for KMPC News.
Some 100 students and a capital punishment abolition march from San Francisco have arrived to join in a protest demonstration only one-fourth of a mile from the prison gate of San Quentin. The demonstrators, nearly 1,000 strong, with less than 1 hour to wait for Attorney George T. Davis, Arthur Eugene Burdick, and actor Marlon Brando, have contained themselves in an orderly fashion and complied to the wishes of all police authorities. Meanwhile, inside the Warden Dixon's office, we learned that Governor Brown reiterated to press members in Sacramento that Carol Chessman's last hope is the state Supreme Court. If the court does not reverse its decision when it meets at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, he cannot act. This is Bill Short speaking from a mobile telephone unit reporting to KMPC News from San Quentin.
Short also says that any demonstrations which may take place are expected to occur after about 10 o'clock when Brando, Davis, and the other headliners appear on the scene. The state Supreme Court meets at 8 tomorrow morning for a last-minute review of the Chessman case. Execution is set for 10 o'clock.
Convicted rapist Carroll Chessman faces his ninth appointment with a gas chamber in 2 hours at 10 o'clock at San Quentin Prison while his attorneys fight past the 11th hour to save his life. He's scheduled to enter the Apple Green Chamber at 10 a.m., but the California Supreme Court is meeting to consider a petition for a writ of habeas corpus and a stay of execution. The court has turned down three previous clemency appeals by identical 4-3 decisions. If the court stands by its previous rulings, Attorney George T. Davis said he was prepared to file an immediate appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington. The High Tribunal has considered the case 16 times during Chessman's 12-year legal battle to escape execution. Davis and two other attorneys for Chessman, Rosalie Asher and A.L. Wyron, said they were prepared to carry their fight to other courts within minutes after any adverse decision. We are going to fight not just to the 11th hour, but past the 11th hour, said Miss Asher. And now here is a report from directly outside the prison.
The massive crowd of demonstrators has dwindled to a handful outside San Quentin Prison this morning as the 10 a.m. execution date approaches.
Bill?
The demonstration reached its climax shortly before 11 last night when actor Marlon Brando and author Eugene Burdick announced the possibility of a new legal loophole just moments before Chessman lawyer George T. Davis arrived. Inside the prison itself, an open telephone line manned continuously will be maintained between the courts and San Quentin. The prison phone is only a few steps from the gas chamber. If Chessman's case is still under consideration, at 10 a.m., a phone call will postpone the execution for 1 hour. This pattern can conceivably be followed all day long. This is Bill Short in a special report to KMTT News, speaking from the Mobile Telephone Unit.
In Sacramento, the governor has stated he is powerless to act on behalf of the convict hunter. Brown granted the February reprieve to allow the legislature to consider his request that capital punishment be abolished in California. And as you know, subsequent to that, the legislature denied that request, and now the governor states that he is powerless to act.
Chessman has come this close to death 9 times since his conviction in 1948, but he has been saved by appeals he initiated. Chessman's lawyers are busy with other appeals in an effort to save him. The California State Supreme Court is meeting in extraordinary session 2 hours before Chessman is scheduled to die. Another appeal has been flown to the United States Supreme Court in Washington. Regardless of the outcome, President Eisenhower has no constitutional right to act in a case of this sort. The governor of California, Edmund Brown, has been receiving telegrams from persons in the United States and overseas appealing on Chessman's behalf. Governor Brown cannot grant clemency unless the state Supreme Court recommends it.
At 9:14 this morning, rejected a last-ditch plea to save the life of Carol Chessman, scheduled to die in the gas chamber at San Quentin at 10 this morning. The vote was 4-3. This has been a bulletin from KMPC News.
The California Supreme Court has just rejected a last-minute plea for a stay of execution by the condemned rapist-kidnapper Carol Chessman. His attorneys now are taking other last-minute steps in his behalf.
NBC Radio News on the Hour, brought to you by the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, whose slogan is, "The Life That Never Fails." Now here is Leon Pearson, NBC News.
Carol Chessman is scheduled to die in the gas chamber at this hour. His attempt to win a stay of execution from the California Supreme Court failed. Also, the U.S. Supreme Court. Bulletin just in from Washington. Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas today rejected Carol Chessman's last-ditch plea for life. For a report as the fatal moment approaches, here is Ed Arno in San Quentin Prison.
Carol Chessman's execution apparently has just gotten underway. Time ran out as Chessman's attorneys frantically tried to get a stay of execution from the U.S. Supreme Court and from Governor Brown. The state Supreme Court slammed the door on Chessman 45 minutes ago by refusing his plea 4-3. They said there was nothing new in it. Witnesses to the execution went through the gates to the gas chamber 20 minutes ago, followed by Chessman. Thus, the ending apparently has been written to the internationally famed author convict's 12-year fight from San Quentin's death row. Ed Arno, NBC News at San Quentin Prison.
Now a word of clarification. Apparently there was not only one, but 2 actions by the California Supreme Court. First, the action which Ed Arno referred to, and then, just a few minutes ago, a denial of his motion for a stay of execution to permit an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington. The effect of this was to refuse to give him further time. And in the meantime, as I said at the opening of this program, Supreme Court Douglas today rejected his last-ditch plea for life. I'll have more news in a moment.
I can see the 60 official witnesses now filing into the gas chamber doors. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court has rejected the plea here in San Quentin. It is very tense. It looks like it is going through. Everybody is waiting anxiously. We will have no official word until approximately 15 minutes after 10. As I understand it, the pills will be dropped. The warden will meet with the press 15 minutes afterwards to give the doctors and clergymen in attendance a chance to check and see that the body, if the man is dead. This is Bill Short speaking from San Quentin, returning you now to KMPC News.
A KMPC News bulletin, Dateline Sacramento. Governor Edmund G. Brown's office announced that the execution of Carol Chessman began at 10:03:45 our time, with the dropping of the cyanide pellets in San Quentin's gas chamber. Stay tuned to KMPC News. We will bring you further word on the execution. Carol Chessman is dead. I repeat, a bulletin. Carol Chessman has died in San Quentin's gas chamber.
State Line, Sacramento. Governor Edmund Brown's office announced that the execution of Carol Chessman began at 3 minutes past 10, that would be exactly 5 minutes ago, with the dropping of the cyanide pellets in San Quentin's gas chamber. This is a bulletin from the KFI newsroom. Governor Brown's office announcing the execution of Carol Chessman began at 3 minutes past 10 with the dropping of cyanide pellets in San Quentin's gas chamber. The information came from the governor's office, which had the only direct line to the gas chamber. Newsmen and other witnesses to the execution were not allowed to leave until after Chessman was pronounced dead. That's a bulletin from the KFI newsroom. Stay tuned to KFI for further details of this news headline and other headlines in the news.
CBS West Coast Radio News Headquarters in Los Angeles. Unless some last-second reprieve has come through, Carol Chessman is at this moment seated in the gas chamber at San Quentin, possibly breathing his last moments on Earth. His last-ditch efforts at various court levels failed to save him. For a recorded report from the San Quentin area on the Chessman story, here is KCBS newsman Don Mosley in San Francisco.
By the same vote of 4-3, which has characterized all its decisions in the Carol Chessman case, the California Supreme Court has turned him down again. This means Chessman may be in the gas chamber even now. No word has yet come through. Chessman's attorney also is trying frantically to get some federal court to intervene, but that seems unlikely. A CBS newsman outside the gates of San Quentin reports a potentially explosive demonstration when the court's decision came through. Pro-Chessman and anti-Chessman forces began to fight, but the Marin County Sheriff quickly got on a public address system and threatened to clear the area unless order was restored. The two factions then retired to their separate sides of the road. CBS News will bring you further developments as they occur. Now back to CBS News in Los Angeles.
That was KCBS News Chief Don Mosley from San Francisco. After the 4-3 ruling at 8:15 this morning by the state Supreme Court, Chessman's attorneys immediately asked the same court for a simple stay. Just 10 minutes ago, they rejected that. And from Washington, D.C., the United States Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas has just rejected Carol Chessman's last-ditch federal plea for life. We will keep you informed on the Chessman case on CBS as further developments come in.
Here are the top stories to midday. Convicted rapist Carol Chessman is dead. He was executed in the gas chamber at California's San Quentin prison this morning. The execution ended a fight for life that spanned 11 years, 10 months, and 7 days. The execution took place despite 11th-hour maneuvers by his attorneys, all failed. Until the moment Chessman died, prison officials stood by telephones waiting for possible last-second developments. But no call of reprieve ever came. The deadly cyanide pellets dropped into the acid on schedule. The fatal fumes spread through the green octagonal-shaped room, snuffed out the life of Carol Chessman. The cyanide pellets were dropped at 10:03. 9 minutes later, he was officially pronounced dead. A misdialed telephone number may have cost Carol Chessman an hour's stay of execution today. Federal District Judge Lewis Goodman said he was prepared to grant the convict author a one-hour stay of execution, but that when he talked to Associate Warden Lewis Nelson, he was told the pellets had just been dropped. This sequence of events preceded Goodman's talk with Nelson, according to the judge. The judge's secretary got the number of San Quentin from Goodman's law clerk, Edward Evanson. She miscopied the number, getting only 4 digits instead of 5. At 10:02, she dialed a faulty number and had to dial again with the correct number, getting through to San Quentin. At 10:03, Goodman then asked for the warden, was told the pellets were dropped. J. Miller Levy of the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office, who prosecuted the Chessman case, said only a few minutes after Chessman went to his death that justice has been served. In his formal statement, Levy tells KNTC News,
"Insofar as the case coming to its conclusion today, I can say that at long last, the proper administration of justice in the Chessman case has been served. I hope this travesty upon justice which Chessman has perpetrated by his piecemeal litigation and false accusations of fraud concerning the prosecution, the court, and others, all of which have been found to be untrue and on occasion perjurious, I hope that this case will serve to spur the United States Congress to enact federal procedural legislation giving consideration to full due process, but which will give greater discretionary powers and other powers to your U.S. district and circuit courts to deal more promptly with men like Chessman, as well as some lawyers who repeatedly bring writs of habeas corpus for state prisoners in the federal courts upon frivolous or unfounded grounds. Such a bill did pass the House of Representatives in 1955 and in 1958, but the bill has never gotten out of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Frantic legal efforts continued right up to the moment when the gas pellets began to drop into the acid in the gas chamber. In San Francisco, two of Chessman's attorneys were appealing to a federal district judge for a stay when Chessman entered the gas chamber. In Washington, an appeal was rushed to Supreme Court Justice William Douglas. He rejected the appeal just 12 minutes before execution time. Earlier, Chessman's attorneys went before the California Supreme Court to ask for a writ of habeas corpus and a stay of execution. The court denied the move 4-3. The attorneys immediately went into action on the other legal moves, but all failed, and Chessman died.
In the gas chamber, at approximately 2:02, he was prepared by the medical people approximately 2:02, with a stethoscope strapped onto his chest. He was strapped in. It takes a matter of a minute or so to strap them in the chairs, and the pellet, as you all know, was dropped at 10:03. And he was pronounced dead at 10:12. On an execution, we had two medical officers always in attendance, the chief medical officer who is responsible for that portion of it, Dr. Herman Gross. Assisting him on the stethoscope was one of our other medical officers, Dr. David G. Smith, who happens to be our chief psychiatrist as well. My impression that it's over is that if this was a long delayed situation, and I think that everyone, whether they believe in it or not believe in it, will feel a great relief that a situation has terminated, at least. It should have not have been permitted to go the length that it has, one way or another.
Governor Brown heard the news of Chessman's death in his executive suite in the state capital of Sacramento. Aide said the governor took the news calmly while sitting in his private study.
NBC Radio, news on the hour. And now here is Chet Huntley, NBC News.
Convict Carol Chessman has been executed at San Quentin Prison, California. For a direct report, here is Ed Arno, NBC News, San Francisco.
Carol Chessman has been executed. The famed Los Angeles red light bandit died in the San Quentin gas chamber 2 hours ago, and as he predicted, he maintained his composure to the end. He kept a straight face and forced a smile at one time as he recognized two reporters who among the witnesses. His final words just before the pellets were dropped were, "Tell Rosalie I said goodbye. It's all right." It was an obvious reference to his attorney, Rosalie Asher. Ironically, Chessman's death might have been postponed for a half hour. Federal Judge Lewis Goodwin said, would have granted that delay had he been contacted in time. Crowds outside the prison, which had swelled to about 500, dispersed quietly as I drove from the prison grounds. Ed Arno, NBC News, San Francisco.
The tense turn of events at the last minute in the Chessman case would seem to have meant little, one way or another. Chessman's lawyers late in making an ultimate appeal to Federal Judge Lewis Goodman, asking him to halt the execution to hear their appeal. There were only minutes to go, and Judge Goodman would have granted a delay of 1 hour to hear what they had to say. He told his secretary to get San Quentin Prison on the telephone, but she misdialed the number, and that lost a minute. Then when the judge did get the prison warden on the telephone, he was told it was too late. The pellets of cyanide were already being dropped into the solution, producing the deadly gas. And so, because of a misdialed telephone number, Carol Chessman failed to get that delay of execution. However, it meant apparently a mere matter of 1 hour, because one of the lawyers who made the appeal to Judge Goodman states that after the try for a delay had failed, the judge told him that the plea they were to have made had no merit. It would have been useless,
and after 1 hour, the execution would have been held. In the concatenation of events, Carroll Chessman lost 1 hour. All a melodramatic twist in the story of an obscure habitual criminal convicted of offenses which he always denied, who wrote a best-selling book and was able to stave off execution for 12 years. This morning, a crowd of some 250 people kept a vigil outside the gate of San Quentin Prison, protesting against the execution. Tension increased as the fateful hour came, but no disturbance. Little more than emotional statements and bitter comment. The same for the pickets at the state capitol in Sacramento, who denounced Governor Brown angrily for the stand he took. But while he opposed the execution, he had no right under the Constitution of his government to stop it. And among the pickets, one young man fainted from hysteria and had to be taken to a hospital. Abroad, a universal wave of protest, mostly on the ground of time. The execution of Carroll Chessman after 12 years of waiting. But there's no comment at all from Mary Alice Shaw, one of the two young women kidnapped and subjected to vicious assault. Chessman convicted of that crime. Mary Alice Shaw, 17 at the time, and she has been in an insane asylum for all those 12 years. No comment from her. She hardly ever speaks. The doctors doubt that she'll ever recover. And so long until tomorrow.
Scheduled programs on KNX Radio, as well as on all other AF, FM, and TV stations in the United States between 11 and 11:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, will be off the air tomorrow, Tuesday, May 3rd, when the United States will conduct a nationwide Connell Rad drill. That's AM, FM, and TV stations. KNX listeners who are asked to have their radio sets tuned in to either 640 or 1240 kilocycles during the half-hour drill. President Eisenhower's address on mutual security can be heard over KNX at 8:30 o'clock tonight. Carroll Chessman tonight is dead, executed as scheduled, but the implications for California and national politics and even world relations may be around for a long time to come. Europe has reacted with cries of shame. Typical is the London Daily Herald editorial that says, quote, "There must be in the hearts of honest-to-goodness Americans great shame over the execution of Carroll Chessman." In Paris, Mrs. Georges Vinet, president of the French Association, called the execution one of the most ignominious crimes that the New World has ever committed. She added, "The civilized old world will never forget it." In Italy and Belgium, says the Associated Press, the general reaction was one of shock. Italian newspapers generally felt 12 years in death row was sufficient punishment. The Associated Press says crowds in Rome milled about newsstands to grab up copies of extra editions and engage in animated conversation about the execution. The Associated Press quoted a plumber in the streets of Rome as stating, "I always like Americans, but this time I'm all out against them. What they did is murder," end quote. The prosecutor of Carroll Chessman, J. Miller Levy, had a word for all this, maudlin. But you'll hear Levy later. Point is, most of the news today has been about Chessman. It took precedence over other new disturbances in Korea, more rioting in Turkey, preparations for the summit meeting, payola, legislation, and about everything else. Perhaps no other convict in the past 75 years, not even Sacco and Vanzetti, received so much international attention. Reaction here at home seems to have been divided between those opposed to capital punishment and those in favor of it. Many predict the Chessman case may live for a long time as a symbol against capital punishment. San Quentin warden Fred Dixon, formerly in favor of capital punishment, told a CBS reporter tonight that after witnessing about 10 executions and the type of people sent to the gas chamber, he no longer believes the death penalty is a deterrent to crime. Chessman himself has a new book coming out titled The Kid Was a Killer, his first and only novel. This is according to the last issue of Publishers Weekly. The other three books have been biographical. Chessman's literary agent has stated today that Chessman has willed any income from his books after payment of legal expenses to help carry on the fight against capital punishment. Actor Marlon Brando, one of the leaders of a Hollywood group to save Chessman, announced outside San Quentin today to a CBS reporter that he will make a motion picture of the Chessman story in which he himself will enact the Chessman role, another part of the campaign against capital punishment. The current issue of the Reader's Digest publishes an article titled Capital Punishment is Not the Answer, says the Digest. This year, partly as a result of the celebrated Chessman case, there are certain to be strong attempts in at least six states to wipe the capital punishment law off the books. Chessman himself left a document on the subject, a statement given to the Long Beach Independent to be published on his death. I understand it was published this afternoon. In it, Chessman says, quote, "Now that the state has taken its vengeance, I should like to ask the world to consider what has been gained. I know that there are many who say that the presence of Carol Chessman upon this earth is a menace to society. But society has had many other opportunities to keep Carol Chessman from its midst. In fact, for nearly 12 years, it was able to keep this poor human, Carol Chessman, from intruding upon anyone's property or privacy." Chessman's statement to the Long Beach paper continues, quote, "Capital punishment, it is said, is applicable to those who cannot be rehabilitated. Yet the Carol Chessman who came to death row so long ago and the Carol Chessman who was poisoned by gas fumes were quite different persons." Chessman added, quote, "I feel I had a useful life ahead of me. Had the state been interested in justice instead of vengeance." The convict author, who denied again as he entered the gas chamber that he was the kidnapper rapist called the Red Light Bandit, said, quote, "Perhaps my books were not masterpieces of literature, but they were readable and printable, and possibly offered some contribution to human thought. There might have been more and better books." Chessman concluded his after-death statement, quote, "Capital punishment is not a penalty. Many times in these last few years, I have realized it might be a blessing to end this tormented struggle." Chessman continued, quote, "I have seen the poor, the friendless, the mentally ill, led to the chamber of execution. I have felt that society each time has shirked its responsibility. Instead of correcting these mistakes, society erases them. Out of sight, out of mind." Chessman died with a wink at a red-haired girl reporter watching him through the window of the gas chamber, and with the words, "It's all right," on his lips. Said the man who prosecuted Chessman, J. Miller Levy, "What did they expect us to do? Give him a prize?" An interview with Levy will follow this word by Alan Botcher from your friendly Ford dealer. The man who prosecuted Carol Chessman back in 1948 is very glad the law has taken its course. Here, Los Angeles Deputy District Attorney J. Miller Levy states his opinion on the death of the Red Light Bandit.
"My opinion, the execution could have been carried out many, many years ago. Unfortunately, you had a man like Chessman who had no respect for law and order and who has been bringing piecemeal litigation, falsely accusing the prosecution, the courts, and others of fraud. By this method, he has prolonged his stay on death row. It is of his own making. He is and was a sociopathic personality, and it was reflected in his appeal."
Levy was then asked if he thinks the Chessman case should bring changes in criminal law.
"I think it should. I hope this will spur Congress to pass legislation for federal procedures giving consideration to full due process, but which will permit your federal courts, both district and circuit, to deal more promptly with lawyers as well as defendants like Chessman who repeatedly come into federal courts on writs of habeas corpus on frivolous grounds. Such a bill did pass the House of Representatives in 1955 and 1958, but on both occasions it failed to get out of the Senate Judiciary Committee."
Levy then restated his belief in capital punishment as a deterrent to crime. Asked if he thought capital punishment had been properly applied to the Chessman case, he said,
"In my opinion, yes. Just as properly as it was used on Richard Jensen, who was executed in 1955 in this state for the same crime, not murder, kidnapping for the purpose of robbery with bodily harm."
When asked whether he was glad the case is over, Levy declared,
"In my opinion, the case is closed insofar as law enforcement is concerned. I am sure you will still hear, for a time at least, from some of these maudlin do-gooders about Chessman not being guilty. You can be sure he is and was guilty. His legal advisor, Al Matthews, came to me during the trial and said Chessman will plead guilty to all of the offenses with which he is charged if I would not urge Judge Fricke to impose capital punishment. This I refuse."
The late Judge Fricke has been called the hanging judge. Asked about this, Prosecutor Levy said,
I don't agree with that statement. Judge Fricke was one of the finest men I ever knew. He was a sentimental man, but he did adhere to his duty.
Levy was asked whether he felt a sense of relief now that Carroll Chessman had gone to the gas chamber.
I have remained objective through this case and even up to this moment. It's just part of my duty to see a case through, work in close cooperation with the Attorney General's office, and in particular a man like Arlo E. Smith in the San Francisco office, who in my opinion has done a splendid job right up to the end. It has been a pleasure to work with a man like Arlo E. Smith.
On speculation that the Chessman execution will have a bad effect on American foreign relations, Levy said,
"It's never been a personal matter to me, even though Chessman and even a lawyer here and there has attacked me and my methods involving the Chessman case and its appeal. It has never become personal. Naturally, I stand up on my 2 feet and fight when somebody accuses me of things that I did not do."
Continuing on Mr. Levy's statement on foreign relations,
"There may be a few, but since the last reprieve on February the 19th by Governor Brown, at the request of a news service here for the United States Information Agency, I made available to the State Department portions of the testimony from the trial to show what Chessman did. I am told by the news agency here and by the U.S. Information Agency that they sent those, 25 copies being made available to them, they sent those to the consulates in the various countries and translated it into their language so as they could come and see what the evidence in the Chessman case was. And I don't think as a result of that you will hear too much from the foreign countries, because now they have the facts."
Warden Fred Dixon of San Quentin confirmed the execution and the time. He also added a personal opinion about the long delay.
"The summit dropped at 10:03 in the morning, and he was pronounced dead at 10:12. This was a long, delayed situation, and I think that everyone, whether they believe in it or not believe in it, will feel a great relief that a situation has terminated, at least, and should have not have been permitted to go the length that it has."
Hours after Chessman's death, student groups still stood outside the prison walls in protest. And throughout the world, there were other demonstrations, but none seemed likely to be as violent as Chessman's very vocal sympathizers had predicted. Here in Los Angeles, the mother of one of Chessman's victims, whose daughter is still in a mental hospital, said that the execution was just, but Mrs. Ruth Shaw added it was still a great tragedy. J. Miller Levy, who prosecuted Chessman for his many vicious crimes, had this statement for KMPC News.
"Insofar as the case coming to its conclusion today, I can say that at long last the proper administration of justice in the Chessman case has been served. I hope this travesty upon justice which Chessman has perpetrated by his piecemeal litigation and false accusations of fraud concerning the prosecution, the court, and others, all of which have been found to be untrue and on occasion perjurious, I hope that this case will serve to spur the United States Congress to enact federal procedural legislation giving consideration to full due process, but which will give greater discretionary powers and other powers to your U.S. district and circuit courts to deal more promptly with men like Chessman, as well as some lawyers who repeatedly bring writs of habeas corpus for state prisoners in the federal courts upon frivolous or unfounded grounds."
In his first public statement since the execution of Chessman, Governor Brown said, "I regret equally every execution in California, past and present, including the one today. I continue to hope that the people of California will change the law. Until they do, however, I must continue to uphold the laws and the provisions of the Constitution with all the strength at my command." One state assemblyman summed it up: "I think this means the end of capital punishment in California. The only thing that bothers me, though, is that we sure do make martyrs in some strange ways."
Carroll Chessman in California's San Quentin prison for kidnapping, rape, and armed robbery of two women. The sentence was imposed in 1948, but Chessman succeeded in putting off the execution by appeals to the court. In this manner, he won 8 stays of execution. He wrote 4 books on his experiences.
Over Western Europe, newspapers and prominent figures spoke of the execution as appalling. In Uruguay, some students demonstrated before the United States Embassy, and crowds in Rio de Janeiro also protested. Among those who denounced the execution were British Nobel Peace Prize winner Philip Noel Baker, French novelist André Maurois, and American poet Robert Frost. News from the Voice of America in Washington.